We are opening up to Proverbs chapter 2 today, the passage that was read. Here we are in worship this morning, resting in Christ together. But you know the world has not stopped. People are still busy. There's a saying in Xhosa, you'd say, Baseha, Banyuka, Bakakekile. They are up, they are down, they are busy. And what is driving people, what drives that busyness? Even on a Sunday, when people, a day people traditionally would rest. But I can tell you, especially from American culture, it never stops. And why? Well, it's because everyone is motivated by what their hearts treasure. Everyone is on a quest. And they are motivated by what their hearts treasure. And whether that treasure is, as we just sang, popularity, what others think of me, power, what I can do in this world, what I can do to others, possessions, what I can have, pleasure, what I can enjoy. Or perhaps it's simply pride and self. That's my quest, to discover myself, you know, self-fulfillment. Doesn't that sound noble? But shame. Proverbs 2 holds out for us the true treasure. The true treasure, the treasure above all others, worth more than anything in this world. It is God's wisdom. God's wisdom is the treasure worth seeking, ultimately through faith in Jesus, as we will see. So we begin on our quest in Proverbs chapter 2. If I were to give you a sort of hypothetical here in terms of this treasure analogy, let's say a wealthy businessman comes in this morning just for fun. He says, I have hidden 1 billion rand somewhere in Fishhook. 1 billion, not 1 million. 1 billion rand. It's somewhere hidden in this village. And you imagine generally how people would respond. You know, there would be this, you know, he would say, is anyone interested? Hey, you know, hands raising, people shouting. And then he says, okay, so this is it's a treasure hunt. So I'm just going to give you some instructions. Okay? What? Okay, go ahead. You know, follow very closely. Yes? And would anyone who went on that treasure hunt be utterly committed to, if at all possible, finding that treasure first? Right? That hidden treasure. Well, that's the quest. That's exactly the quest being described here as a father speaks to his son in Proverbs chapter 2 in verses 1 to 4. Now, we must orient ourselves to, this is poetry, right? Hebrew poetry. It has parallelism. So you find these pairs of lines often where the second line is, it kind of has the same general meaning, but it's different. And so it fills out the meaning. So this is as we have in chapters 1 to 9 of Proverbs, we often have these fatherly addresses to a son. It's the way generational wisdom, that generational stewardship of wisdom is carried in Proverbs from father to son, from generation to generation. And so the appeal, my son, verse 1, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you. You see, the parallelism is helping us. This is a certain kind of receiving, right? There's a kind of receiving, okay. Then there's a thank you, right? That's what the Father says. Receive my words, treasure them up with you. a certain kind of receiving, a treasuring, as we will see. Now, if we could imagine here, I imagine kind of the sun blinking, you know, kind of, what? Treasure up words? Commandments? Yes, because those words take you to the treasure. The treasure that is worth more than everything. And a godly father wants to point his son to the treasure. Yes, because he loves his son. So the son should listen closely. Verse 2, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. So it's a matter of the ear. It's a matter of the heart. It's the heart that opens the ear to wisdom. Otherwise, as the old saying goes, it's in one ear and out the other. The heart opens the ear to wisdom because of what the heart treasures, because the heart treasures that wisdom. And then the heart motivates. Verse 3, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, seeking it in prayer, calling out, crying out for wisdom. Verse 4, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. Again, this is hidden treasure. It is worth seeking, but it is hidden. And I think this points to wisdom is hard won, especially for the young who don't have experience and must receive those words. It takes wisdom to receive wisdom, to grow in wisdom, to find the treasure. It's hidden. It's not just naturally. We're not naturally wise, are we? Children are naturally foolish, and all of us. And so it is hard won. It is like hidden treasure. Seek it, says the Father. Keep on seeking. Keep on seeking. It's worth it. It's worth it, this treasure. Now, in all of this, you might be asking, okay, can you tell me what the treasure is? You've told me it's wisdom. Can you tell me more so I can understand how much this is worth? Yes, the Father does. Here it is in verse 5. This is, so point number 1 was the quest. Point number 2 is the treasure. In verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. That's the treasure of wisdom. You will know God. You will understand what it means to fear Him. Now that's interesting because you may know in Proverbs, what's the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. But then growth in wisdom is a greater understanding of what it means to fear the Lord, to know Him, to delight in Him. So ultimately, you understand, God is the treasure, and it is knowing God. And that then leads us on the way of wisdom in Proverbs. Now, if I can unpack that, Proverbs and the wisdom in Proverbs, it is about living well. It's especially for young people, about how do we live well in God's world. And there's a lot of practical, if you've walked through Proverbs, there's a lot of practical wisdom on living well. But this is not like merely pragmatic worldly wisdom. It's not just life hacks. You know how they speak of those? Life hacks, right? The secrets to your best life now, right? The principles for success and self-fulfillment, you know? It's much more. And this is what our godless world does not understand, our secular world, I mean, where we have so much knowledge in general and yet so little wisdom, and it's because we don't know God. That's why this is our highest good and therefore our greatest treasure. It is the only way we can truly know ourselves and thus understand how we can truly be happy in God. I think that's what Proverbs is leading us on, the wisdom. It's about the blessed life. Yes, it's living well, but it's living the blessed life, which is a life happy in God. Happy in Him. And otherwise, we're lost. In his book, The Authenticity Hoax, that's the title, The Authenticity Hoax, Andrew Potter, he said, finding the authentic has become the foremost spiritual quest of our time. It's a little bit older book, but yes, the modern world, how do we find ourselves, right? The foremost spiritual quest of our time, people wanting to know and find ourselves. But he goes on to say, it is one thing to say you prefer the authentic. It is something else entirely to know what that means. And the subtitle of the book is How We Got Lost Finding Ourselves. I love that. How we got lost in our efforts to find ourselves without God, we ended up lost. So I think that speaks to the crying need for wisdom and the knowledge of God. So one of the reformers, John Calvin, he put it this way when he opened his book, The Institutes. He said, the whole sum of our wisdom, wisdom that is, which deserves to be called true and assured wisdom, right, broadly consists of two parts, knowledge of God and knowledge of ourselves. There it is. That's the key, is how knowing God gives us a true understanding of ourselves in relationship to Him. And that's why it's such a treasure, you see. It's knowing God and ourselves in relationship to Him that opens the treasure of wisdom. Otherwise, you don't know yourself, and you will never be truly happy. You will be lost. So this treasure then has extraordinary value for us. And I only have time to kind of sketch this out in Proverbs 2. But I want you to kind of see how this unfolds in the chapter. When you know God, when you find this treasure and you are growing in wisdom, verse 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. You see, it changes you. It changes us. Knowing ourselves in relationship to God and in knowing Him, it changes us. That's fundamental to wisdom, is the kind of people we become through biblical wisdom, you see? The kind of people wisdom makes us. You are changed. Your character is changed. And therefore, all your conduct in this world, you learn that way of righteousness and justice and equity, that good path pleasing to God. Verse 10, for wisdom will come into your hearts, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Pleasant. You see, again, your heart has discovered with delight the value of knowing God. This is the greatest value of knowing Him by His Word. Yes, by His Spirits. And so discovering that, it changes us and the way we live in this world, because as we hear in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it is from the heart that flow all the springs of life. You see? All the springs of life flow from the heart and what we treasure. So if you discover the treasure, knowing God, and then yourself in relationship to Him, well, then you found it. And the life that flows out of that it's a God-glorifying life. It's a blessed life. Amen? And it's a secure life. Verse 11, discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil. And then he goes on. This is about security. Now that's a relevant concern for South Africans, yes? Security? Care about that? But the focus here is not merely the physical security of ourselves and our possessions. It can apply to that in a secondary way. But what the Father's pointing the Son to here is physical dangers aren't the only dangers in the world, right? And they're not even the greatest dangers. The greatest dangers are follies that plunge people's lives into ruin and their hearts into confusion and shame and misery. And so wisdom provides moral security. It secures us against those follies. So just to again sketch that in verses 12 to 15, it's the blight of bad friends, right? These men whose their words are perverted and their hearts delight in perversion, delight in wrongdoing. Now that is especially true for young people, of how friends can be a bane and a blight on your life if they are bad friends, the wrong friends. But for all of us, again, there's security. There's security in arming us with moral judgment regarding our friends, who our friends are, who we are close to and in community with. And then in verses 16 to 19, it's the seduction of sexual sin, represented by the forbidden woman, right? She's the literally strange or foreign woman, but she's the adulteress, as you heard in the reading. Arming us against sexual sin. Do we need that in our world, in our sex-saturated world, in our pornographic world? Yes. It's true security. Security matters, doesn't it? It matters in every way. It especially matters in this. In walking securely in this world by wisdom, the wisdom God gives, and by the work of that wisdom in us, shaping us, how we understand the world, how we discern good and evil. So it's the way wisdom equips us in that way and secures our steps at the end in verses 20 to 22, secures our steps in the good path. It's the good paths of the Lord which provide for a lasting inheritance in the land. This has echoes of the law and the words there about those who will endure in the land, who will have an inheritance in the land. Yes? Now, we understand what that meant for Israel there in Canaan, in the Old Covenant. What does it mean for us? The ultimate promised land. Yes, the new heavens and the new earth, you see. Wisdom is, it's the way of life. It's the way to everlasting life, you see. The New Testament shows us how high the stakes are, right? Remember Jesus saying, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What will it profit him? What kind of treasure is the world if you are lost in seeking that treasure?" So the stakes are as high as they could possibly be, the danger of eternal misery or the fullness of joy in the new heavens and the new earth. And our Father would give us that inheritance in the new world. Can you hear his appeal in this passage? Remember how it began, my son? You see, as I've mentioned, Proverbs, though primarily for young people, is for all of us. And I trust you can hear with me the echo of our Heavenly Father's voice. Even if you didn't have a godly earthly father who pointed you in the way of wisdom, you have a Heavenly Father. perfect, who loves you perfectly. And you hear his voice, my son, my daughter, here is the way, here is the treasure. It's knowing him. Do you want that treasure? Well, then I have good news then in our third point. The treasure is also the gift. It's the gift. Verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Verse 7. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. The Lord gives wisdom. Now, wait a minute. You said it's hard won and we should seek it. Yes. But now you say God gives it? Yes. That's hard to understand. Yes. But where it's understandable is that it's sought by faith. It's by faith. This is not, as other religions present, a quest where we, by our attainment in the end, we reach wisdom and salvation. No, that's not what the gospel is about, the good news. The good news is about the gift. He gives wisdom. Those words ultimately come. Those words, the Father is speaking to his Son. He's saying, but the words of wisdom ultimately come from his mouth. He has the great storehouse in verse 7 from which we may freely draw. He is the shield who by his grace defends and delivers his servants from sins and follies that can ruin lives and damn souls. Remember the counsel of James, James chapter 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. Isn't that beautiful? He doesn't reproach us. Oh, Reagan, asking for wisdom again. No, he doesn't reproach us. He's generous with this free gift of wisdom. He gives wisdom in Jesus. That's what the gospel's about. It's about Christ. Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, who unlocks the treasury of wisdom. That's the point Paul's making at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when he says, and because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, if you know the context of 1 Corinthians 1, it's the wisdom of the cross. The wisdom of the cross, which, what does the world call it? Foolishness. The world says, that's folly. That's folly. And Paul says, that's how God saves his people. By what the world calls foolishness, the wisdom of the cross. The wisdom of the cross, which puts all our own wisdom to shame. Yes, it crushes it, if I could say. You see? And presents Christ to us, Christ alone, as the source of wisdom. This is the wisdom that makes us right with God, that makes us holy, that makes us free, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It's the wisdom of the cross, the wisdom of the gospel. The way down is the way up. The way down is the way up to wisdom. And Paul unpacks that further in Colossians. He says in chapter 2, verse 3, that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here again, the treasure, the hidden treasure, it's hidden in Christ. And so it is only through union with Christ, through faith in him alone, that you can have access to the wisdom that saves, the knowledge that saves. It's hidden in him. It's found through faith by those who come to see that they are not wise and they confess, I am a fool. I have been a fool. I have been a pawn of sin. I have been played. I need Jesus. I have no wisdom to get myself out of the predicament, my predicament before God. That wisdom comes down from God. It's revealed at the cross. It's about the gift. Hallelujah. This is what John Calvin argued in that context in his work again, The Institutes. He said, deeply rooted in all of us is an arrogance which persuades us that we are righteous, truthful, wise, and holy. And that's why we don't seek wisdom like we should. We think, I'm okay. I'm wise. You're not. We are not wise. Those who see that, they see all our wisdom as its futility, it is empty, and who turn to Christ alone, find in Him a wonderful fountain of wisdom flowing to us through His words. We find the treasure. The treasure is hidden in Him. Do you want God's wisdom? Come to Jesus, and He will pour out His Spirit and open that treasury to you. Hey, Whit Sunday, yes? Pentecost Sunday. How about this? How about the Pentecost of Proverbs chapter 1, where wisdom says, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my Spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Now, wisdom there is a poetic personification in chapter 1 of Proverbs. I just want to clarify there. But Jesus fulfills that. Amen. Jesus says, sinners, if you turn to me, and saints today who need wisdom, turn to me and I will pour out my Spirit on you. I will open up. It's the Spirit who opens up His words to us. That's why Paul can speak, for example, in Colossians of spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding, because the Spirit opens up Christ's words to us and equips us to walk with secure steps in the will of God. And if I can just double down on this as I close, you know that great passage in Ephesians 5 about being filled with the Spirit? Yes? You ever read the context of that verse? Let me read it for you now. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. You see the context? The context is in Christian worship, in our worship together, like this, is psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Of course, it begins with the preaching of the word. But then psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and the wisdom we share with one another, addressing one another. And yes, singing to the Lord. Truly, we worship Him. And yet we minister to one another. We share wisdom with one another, so that we will not be unwise, but wise Christians in this world. That we will redeem the time, because the days are evil, because we have been redeemed by His grace. And we will not be foolish. We will understand what the will of the Lord is. I think Paul there is, he's pointing to how we grow to maturity together. How the church grows to maturity in the gospel and its shared wisdom. In other words, it's sharing the treasure together. You see? One of the purposes of our corporate worship this morning and every Lord's Day is that sharing the treasure, ministering Christ's wisdom to one another, we would grow together to maturity in doing God's will and in glorifying Him. in this world. It is vital to our, yes, to our worship and to our witness, yes, to how we commend the gospel. So, UEF church family, let's treasure Christ and his wisdom together. Amen. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for the call of Proverbs chapter 2 and across your word. We rejoice in the treasure that is hidden in Christ and freely given to us to know you, the God who made us, to know you by your redeeming grace, and know ourselves in relationship to you, and so be changed and be blessed and live well in your world for your glory. Lord, thank you for these things. Will you stir our hearts by the Spirit so that we would treasure wisdom all the more? We would treasure knowing you and treasure your words. Yes, the words of Jesus, our Savior, and how he leads us by the Spirit in the way of wisdom, which is the everlasting way, the way of life. So we thank you. We thank you for your grace for all the times we have failed and been fools. Thank you for all the wisdom that is offered freely to us in Christ alone. Give us wisdom, Lord, even this week, in all our ways. In Jesus' name, amen.